Episode 471 of Global from Asia. Want to dominate Amazon's organic rankings without bleeding cash on PPC? Brian Johnson from DeepM.ai reveals how to reverse engineer Amazon's A9 algorithm and boost your product's visibility.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice.
Hey, GFA community, Mike here, bringing you another episode packed with actionable insights to scale your global business. Whether you're sourcing from Asia or selling worldwide, we've got you covered.
Absolutely, Mike. Let's hear from our GFA community. Today, we're diving into organic ranking on Amazon with Brian Johnson from DeepM.ai, plus exciting cross-border summit updates.
Join us in Chiang Mai for hands-on workshops and networking with e-commerce pros like Brian. Brian's back from our 2018 summit, and he's sharing cutting-edge strategies to boost your Amazon rankings without relying solely on PPC. Stay tuned for the outro for extra insights. Ready to take your e-commerce game to the next level? Join us at the Cross-Border Summit, November 3rd to 5th in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Connect with experts like Brian Johnson, network with top entrepreneurs, and get hands-on strategies to scale your business. Tickets at crossbordersummit.com.
Okay, thank you everybody for choosing to listen to or maybe watch. We've got some pretty cool video here of our episode with Brian Johnson. It's been quite a while since we've had you on the show and also have you back at our Cross-Border Summit. How are you doing today, Brian?
I am doing good. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to cross-border. I think the last one that I spoke at was 2018.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I mean,
the journey comes around again. So
it is. It is.
Yeah, I love it.
It is. I mean, I feel like a few of those years are blank for me with the COVID, you know, like,
yeah, well, it's that joke, the phrase hindsight is 2020. It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
How funny that actually came true in that way. It's like, yeah, if you look back, what would you have done differently? It means that also as far as what would you have done differently in 2020? The interesting thing with COVID, of course, was I was speaking out at an event in Amsterdam for Sellerfest. And that was back in 2019. At that time, of course, COVID was around in China. It had hit Europe, hadn't really been acknowledged yet in the States. So we come back, my whole family, we came back from Amsterdam and we got home and then we were just immediately like sick. And that was like, gosh, October of 2019. So they didn't really even label it back then. They didn't acknowledge it was even in the States back then. We were not patient zero, but at the same time, we were, as a family, we were down for like 3 or 4 weeks. Right at the same time that for the agency that I had co-founded that I was with at the time, we were launching another, like our last version of a course that I had, Sponsored Products Academy, and I completely lost my voice. And so I had to have a dozen people from the team step in and record these videos that I had scripted because I had no voice whatsoever.
Crazy, crazy.
And yeah. So yeah, it's, I mean, everybody's got a story as far as like where were you when, or how bad was it for you? But yeah, for us, it was that patient zero coming back from Europe and it's like, oh great. We brought it back from Europe. Didn't even know.
Wow.
So, yeah. We didn't even know what it was until January. So it was a couple months later before they kind of officially said in the States, here's the symptoms and we can't do anything about it yet, but here are the symptoms. And we're like we had all that.
Jeez. So. Yeah, I didn't hear people. Yeah, I mean, I even didn't hear about it. Even I was in China in January 2020. I heard about it the first time. I remember it wasn't even that big of a deal. It, early January.
And
yeah. Well, we all have our stories. Oh, brother. And but yeah, we're here, man. We survived. We're like the survivors. I mean, there's been so much. The industry's.
That's 5 years. We're glad we're 5 years past that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've done three summits since the COVID. And then, yeah, that we did four before. So this will be our number seven total. And
that's cool.
It's really cool. Yeah. Full circle to have you back. So I'm excited to hear about what you've been working on, what you've been seeing in the industry. You have a new venture now, DeepM.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I still in my brain think of PPC when I talk to you, right? But now it's more organic ranking, right?
When you figure it's like, so I've been in e-commerce for about 17 years. I've been in the Amazon space now for 11 years. That's a long time to be in one industry. So 11 years, and I worked on PPC for what, 8 of those, maybe? The first year I didn't. And then 2 through 9, I was working on PPC, and then I pivoted. I kind of did like a soft transition over to like conversion rate optimization. But then like during all that time with, because I had, if you recall back in the day, we were talking about programming before the show, where I had co-developed, or I co-founded a software called PPC Scope. Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I remember.
But it was the first dedicated Amazon PPC software back in the day. That was back in like, I don't know, 15, 16, something like that. And so that was my first venture into the advertising piece of this. Once I had like a community and then software, and then of course that begged like, oh, we need a training course. And so we did this big training course with a new partner I had. And then we launched in 2018, we launched an advertising agency called Canopy Management.
Yep.
And that one's still running strong, but I have since exited. I exited all those about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Specifically to pivot over to DeepM. And DeepM is my focus when it comes to how do we leverage technology and grabbing way too much data in order to reverse engineer how A9 sorts products on Amazon and essentially hand a roadmap to our users to say, here's how you rank on Amazon. And I like to say, and I'm sure I'll get shut down on this as soon as I say it again, one more time probably, is I can show any brand how to rank number one in their niche for any non-branded term. They may not like what it takes, but I can tell them how and why.
Wow.
That all works.
Okay.
So it's fun. It's awesome to see the results. And because we've been working on this in beta for 2 years. In fact, we just rolled out we were using like Google Sheets. And so our users, our beta users, we were just getting a Google Sheet each week, right?
Wow.
And so then now we're switching over to an actually online app that just explodes our capabilities and our ability to roll out to the other Amazon marketplaces as well. Same technology also works on things like TikTok Shop and Walmart and Target and Mercado Libre and some of these other e-commerce marketplaces that have search ranking of their own. So it's got a long ways to go, but the first 2 years have been the struggle of trying to bring something new to market. Not my first rodeo as far as like trying to bring something new to market, but this one, like, there's a lot more people who are like, you can't actually do that, can you? It's like, is that legit? Is there terms of service? It's like, no, it's all fine. It's just a new concept that everybody else that goes against the grain of what most people are preaching. So,
okay. I mean, actually, I think I met from Dan McMillan, I think is how I connected with you originally. And he spoke at the summit he's been a few times in 2023. I remember he says like to be number, he says, don't try to be number one because your price has to be, Amazon won't even rank you if your price isn't like razor thin margin. And so maybe you want to be number 5 or 4 or 3, like, and have a higher margin. I mean, I know you said,
well, and I agree with that. And a lot of times we get users who would be like, well, I want to be ranked number one. No, you don't. Yeah, no, I want to be ranked number one because they haven't been there before, especially for a popular term. And it wasn't about like, what does it take in order to get there? It was what happens once you're there. And so again and again, we intentionally observe, okay, you move from 20 up to 10, up to 5. Okay, let's really like we're tracking what's your net profitability, how efficient are ads, how easy it is, how much resistance are you getting in position 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Because some niches you get into and you start getting, you pop up into number one, and all of a sudden you start getting attacked and start getting violations all of a sudden and negative review blitzes and all kinds of stuff. And so I'm like, you don't actually want to be in number one position. Glad to help you get there. They get there and they're like, okay, so how do we back off to number two or three? It's like, I can do that. That's a good problem to have. Like we want to bump down off of position number one. It's like, all right.
Also just, yeah, like, never mind the competitors or yeah, the black hat or other, also just staying in stock, the volume. I mean, I'm doing that with one of our products. We also kind of increased price and purposely moved down. Just, yeah, we don't want to be the volume. I mean, it sounds nice, but like sometimes cash, getting the actual cash flow and other benefits of not being that top spot, king of the mountain. What's that one? The Goblin King, where they're always trying to pull you down, right? You're on number
one. Oh, yeah.
King,
yeah, it's the King of the Hill.
Yeah,
King of the Hill kind of game where you're always trying to be knocked off the top. Yeah, I mean, it's not like you have to sacrifice everything in order to be in number one position. It's not like that. You simply just need to understand where it makes sense to be number one. So many keyword research tools, and people will tell you the classic mode has always been use the keyword research tools, either the basic ones or the advanced ones. Use the keyword research tools and go after, optimize your listings and run ads on the high volume search terms that are generally relevant to your product. And that has always been a good philosophy until you break it down and you realize once Amazon rolled out things like brand analytics, you could start seeing, it's like, well, how am I actually benchmarking against my competitors? Right? How's my relative click-through rate, conversion rate, price point, that kind of stuff? How am I actually performing against my competitors? And you realize is that my product does not convert well or as well as my competitive set on some of those search terms. But it's not like, oh, you need to go after a long tail. No, it's not like you need to go after low volume. It's you need to find the gaps in the marketplace that your product performs well at and exploit that. And that kind of visibility requires way more data than a human team is capable of doing. You have to use automation. You have to do bulk data collection and bulk data analysis in order to get there. And so it's DeepM might be the only one that can do that right now, but it's because in part because the technology continues to move faster and faster. And so there's more and more capabilities that sellers get as far as being able to carve out that niche. It's not like the old days where it's like, well, just throw a product. If you have a better main image, you're going to win. Now it's more like, okay, where's my piece of the pie? How do I find that? Right.
Yeah. Okay. Hacks, or is it a hack? I mean, is it consistency? Like, what are some?
Well, no. I would say it's consistency, because here's kind of the way that we do this is if you collect enough data, for instance, we'll go in and we'll on a specific subcategory, for instance, we go in and we collect, we take the, well, there's a couple of different approaches that we take. One is we don't use the keyword research tools, right? We actually use Amazon's internal data first. So we'll look to see for an established, now this doesn't work on a brand new product launch. You've got to use something else like a keyword research tool or product opportunity explorer inside of Amazon. But for an established product, there's a history in brand analytics. And that will tell you what is, for an individual product, what's the top 100 search terms that Amazon has already recognized for your product to tell you what it is. And so if you start there and say, okay, I don't need to force my listing and change everything in order to get noted, to get indexed and to rank for this high volume search term. If it is on that list that Amazon tells us in brand analytics, then yes, because essentially what we're doing is we're just saying, okay, Amazon already sees relevance for these 100 search terms for your product. Let's lean into the ones that have the opportunity. So then we'll go out and we will pull in multiple other reports from inside of a Seller Central account or a 1P enhanced account. And we'll pull in from third-party data APIs. And then we'll go out and we'll just brute force, just scrape that entire product niche, right? That subcategory. And we'll look at, we don't just go like, oh, here's 9 or 10 products you're competing with. No, we do the full 300, right? So we'll pull 300 product listings for 200, 300, 400, sometimes 500 search terms, depending on how many we have to work with. And so we'll scrape all the data across all those products, across all those search terms. And that gives us two things. One is it tells us, it maps out the patterns the A9 uses in order to sort products from one niche to another, and it's different. There's some common traits that will not be surprising when, if I go through and list, okay, here's the top five. But we've identified probably over 100 different, we call them search rank factors. They're kind of like the signals to A9 to, hey, I want you to rank my product. There's over 100, and we boil it down to say, okay, for your specific subcategory, for your niche, here's the top 10 or 12 you need to focus on. And the first one has a 25% impact on A9. The second one has an 18%. Third one has a 12%, et cetera, right? And just diminishing returns on down the line. And so that gives you two things there, is the ability to go in and say, okay, focus most of my time on the first two or three things that impact my A9 ranking the most, and I'll optimize. Maybe that's title and bullet points and relative conversion rate, short-term versus long-term unit velocity, some of these kind of things that sellers are already familiar with. And you work to optimize those as best as you can, and then you benchmark that, every single one of those signals, you benchmark against whoever's in front of you for that search term. If you're in position 20, cool. You've got 19 competitors who are in front of you, right? And so what are all they doing, and how am I optimized compared to how they're optimized on each one of those? And so the goal here is, we actually have a patent that we filed for some of this technology in the back end, because we have deep learning models that process about 30 to 40 million data points for every single product niche. There's no way a human team's going to do that. That's like 30 to 40,000 man hours. It's just not going to happen from inside of a brand, let alone a specific product. But we can benchmark how everybody's doing, and we update it every single week. And so anytime you make a tweak or a competitor changes something, you're always aware, okay, that I was 72% optimized and now I'm 71% optimized. And by the way, this competitor that was 65% optimized, now they're 74% optimized. They just passed me on this one metric. I need to correct that. And we're actually working on a predictive technology that kind of, think about like a rear view mirror, where you're like, oh, I see somebody coming. They're getting closer and closer. Yeah. How do I out optimize them before they get to me?
Got it.
So I can protect myself. And so what that ends up being is, instead of this volatility that most brands experience on search rank, is we get up there and that levels off and we can hold it flat, because we know from week to week, what's our exact relative strength or weakness compared to our competitors for every single search term. And how do we stabilize that? How do we improve it?
Okay.
So it does require consistent optimization. It's definitely not you set it up once and it just magically works from there on. There's a bunch of things that we learned from doing the data research over and the testing. We've worked with over 100 brands over the last 2 years. And yeah, now we're starting to really get in, starting to really work with more of some of the larger agencies and aggregators and accelerators, and work with them in order to, they've got obviously clients that they're working with, and they need to be able to stand out. And so it makes a lot of sense to be able to get a competitive edge as an agency or an aggregator. Or I was surprised at how many companies there are that own 10, 15, 20 brands. Really? That either they've built or they've acquired over time. You're like, I've never heard of you. And they're like, yeah, that's the point.
Awesome. You know,
but they get it. I don't think anybody ever really gets the concept of what we're doing. It took me 3 months to get it into my head. Let's put it that way. And I've spent the last 2 years trying to simplify it so that I geek out on the science, but I also lose everybody on the science also.
No, it's exciting. I guess what's going through my mind, and you kind of just said it, 10, 15 brands. I mean, it seems like the reality is the bigger getting bigger. Is that what, I mean, the resources needed to do these things?
You get some pooling. I think, yes, there's some acquisition, there's some consolidation of resources. I know that there's a lot of companies and agencies that are implementing automation. And unfortunately, what that means is the lower end staff, they get sacrificed in the process of that automation. It's unfortunately, that's just one of those things where a company has to justify it or to consider that on their own.
Yeah.
Do we automate and survive under the new competition? I mean, you look at when like a lot of these AI image generators came out, and a lot of these agencies that were like, oh yeah, we'll redo all your photography and video and copywriting for your product listings, and they're charging $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 more. And all of a sudden the price just drops out because so many other agencies are like, yeah, we'll do it for $400. They're like, man. And they were forced to bring their price down. So a third of their income just from their design shop just disappeared.
Yeah.
And so it's not like it forces, I think, everybody to be prepared to pivot and to explore and what else can I do? What are my superpowers that I can lean into maybe in a different way?
Yeah, I'm having that same talk in our team. And yeah, I agree on the people, the value of a high skilled person is going to go up and the value of a low skill just going to go to maybe zero. Like you said, is it also the same for small brand, big brand?
I mean, I would say that the bigger brands still have more traditional teams. But if you're talking about like week-to-week optimization, I would say that it kind of depends on how much that they're doing in-house. I think where companies should be leveraging it is not necessarily cutting headcount, but getting that headcount, getting the people on your team up to speed on multiplying their output and taking on more than what they used to be able to do. And the way that this was kind of what I was speaking recently in Las Vegas for the Alibaba.com co-create event.
Yeah.
And what I was talking about, originally I was going in and talking about where you can take your AI and essentially what to look forward to or what to avoid. Like in other words, it's coming for you. It's not coming for you as an individual, but from a business standpoint, you've got to embrace a certain amount of AI because everybody else is, and that's becoming the new standard, right? And so, but then I was in speaking the first day and a half that I was speaking with the attendees, I realized like, most people at the conference were not that savvy as far as they were not that far advanced in their business to consider it. And they were kind of scared because there was a little bit of overwhelm of like, it's changing so fast. And I've gotten caught by that myself. And the kind of the message that I shifted to was focus on yourself first. If you have probably one of the biggest things that I've tried to work on myself the past couple of years is really trying to focus more on where do I have my own, where can I lean into my superpowers? What am I very capable at and enjoy doing? And turns out I'm pretty good at. How do I get more hours of the day working on that and less wearing all the other multiple hats of a co-founder, right? And so for anybody that is feeling like they can't keep up with AI, yes, everybody's in that same position. There's no person out there in the world who is fully aware of everything that's going on with AI. That is no longer possible. Yeah. And so you kind of have to figure out, okay, what do I need to know about the technology? What is changing? What can I use today for me personally? And just saying like, look, there's some tasks that I do that consume a bunch of my hours in my week and I don't like doing them. I try to avoid them. What tool might be available already that I can implement that just takes that off my plate or reduces it substantially? If you get exceptionally buried by an influx of email, first of all, create a new email so nobody knows your email. But two is there are tools in order to manage that are AI that can at least create a filtering system for you, right? Reduce the noise through filtering, reduce the noise by automating, getting some of the things off your plate so that you have a clear head to work on what your superpowers are. Don't try to take everything else on. One of the biggest mistakes that I made in the last year was, you know, in the time that we've been talking, five new AI tools have come out, right? Trying to say like, oh, well, I was using this one, but now there's this new version or this new tool that just came out. I need to jump to that one. I was hopping around saying like, oh, here's the latest. I wasn't committing to just, let me stick to one platform for at least a month and just focus on using that for at least a month and just trying to refine it for myself, not for my company, not for all my clients, none of that kind of stuff. Just let me pick something, do the best I can to automate the noise and the superfluous tasks off of me so that I can get a more clear head and the time to work on my own superpowers. Cool. My mental health is gradually improving. I haven't gotten there, but it is definitely a destination that I'm working on.
It helps me. I know, like, yeah, it's analysis paralysis. Like, yeah, like especially Twitter, like on the AI feed or whatever, or any platform, it seems there's just always some new thing. And then you almost get frozen. You don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's almost like starting selling online or picking a product, but it's even more extreme. But say, I think we're all getting to the point where we just pick something and just have to hope that that's the right one for now, at least.
Yeah.
But it's also
worst case scenario is most people don't execute in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Struggle with that. It's really easy to get the shiny object squirrel where it's like, ooh, that's cool. Let me go look at that. Let me watch 40 videos about this different topic. And then all of a sudden you're like, how much time did I just blow watching how other people have done it and agreeing or disagreeing and saying, I haven't quite found my right approach on this. I'm like, hold on. Had I just committed to something, not relied 100% on somebody else's advice that may have been a week old or a year old or whatever the case is, and just say like, okay, do I need Notion or do I need something? Like, no, it's like, I've got sticky notes. I've got Notepad. Like, don't overcomplicate it. It's what are you comfortable? What do you actually execute on? What do you actually get done? And just use that for now and figure out what's the worst task that I absolutely avoid. It never gets done. And it always causes me stress because it doesn't get done. And then somebody starts barking at me 3 weeks after it was due. Like, how do I get that off of my plate so that it's out of my head? That's probably the biggest wish that I would have for anybody. Mm-hmm. How do you reduce the noise in your head?
Yeah.
Meditation. Choosing to automate something. Doesn't mean you need to hire out. It's just, there's a certain amount of, there's plenty of tools already out there that are available and probably have a pretty low subscription cost.
Yeah. Great. So. Let's bring it back Amazon. So I getting towards, I think, 10 minutes more, but rank. So organic rank. And I'm thinking of you as the PPC, right? And everybody always says you still need a PPC, right? So PPC is still important in organic rank. I mean, that's how I've always thought of Amazon.
Yeah. Like, but the ranking offsets the cost, the increasing cost of ads. You still want to use the ads to drive unit velocity. You just be a lot more intentional and tactical about it. Try not to use it for keyword research, especially if you're in the pet category or the baby category or some of these where it's $5, $10, $20 cost per click. You better be ranking organically because you won't be able to afford the ads on that. Yeah. So I still try to keep abreast of what's working now in PPC advertising, just so that I know it for my own, because I've got my own products as well and like product partnerships. So I always want to know. I don't choose to do it hands-on anymore. But at the same time, I want to know what those tactics are that are working, that'll move the needle.
True. Cool. And then let's chat about the summit, like what you got lined up for us. What you're going to be sharing at the summit and on the organic ranking with AI. And
yeah. Obviously that's when it comes to, one of the things that we did develop through our research, we identified in making this attempt to reverse engineer A9. And I always, as soon as I say that, I always hear the voice in my head. It's like, well, if anybody tells you they solved A9, then they're full of it. It's like, yeah, generally I would say that's true. we only have probably about 80% of it figured out, right? There's another 20% that's variable. There's other things that introduce more flavor to that, like Rufus and Cosmo and that kind of stuff. And I could speak for another hour just on those too. But ultimately, what I'm going to bring to Summit is I'm going to go in and start kind of with an overview of what are the biggest ranking signals that you can send to A9, and how do you measure those? How do you optimize those? How do you essentially take advantage of gaps in the marketplace? Lean into your strengths, avoid your weaknesses as best you can. How do you actually assess that and figure that out? So I'm going to say it's probably a little more workshop than it is like hands-on, like here's where I want you to take this. Then I'll try not to make it a lecture. It's going to be more
Awesome.
of like, okay, let's do this together and let's walk through this.
I like
Because I
it. I
think
like it.
especially in the more intimate settings like Summit, it's not the 10-person mastermind, but at the same time, it's also not the 1,000-person conference either. So that is a fantastic sweet spot. That's everybody. I always get the best learning out of that size of event that you have with Summit. And everybody I talk to is like, yeah, that's where I got the most action out of that size of event, because it's the right mix of you get to network, you get more hands-on approach. It's much easier to pull a speaker or somebody else who said, hey, I've got this hack, or I've got this thing that works, or here's what you should be doing, here's your priority, and pull them to a side and say, okay, can we go through that a little bit more together? And then you'll get a small group that's working on that. And that's a beautiful, beautiful case. I encourage anybody that hasn't been to a sub conference, in other words, one that is more, a lot more tactical, a lot more focused, like Summit is. Yeah, the size of it is exactly like anybody who hasn't experienced that needs to. Like if you've just gone to the big conferences in the Vegas and New York and London and all these kind of things, that like you got to try this out, because it'll make a world of difference. It's just a different vibe altogether.
I mean, that's I happy to say that. I mean, I feel the same. I mean, I learn myself there. I mean, we can make good connections, and we like we've done it 7 times, so the size is good. I just had dinner with a few that went last year, coming again this year. They're ready to actually sometimes I see the attendees themselves share amazing strategies. We're actually gonna work on more. I don't want to spoil too much, but I also don't know if it's gonna be how technically possible. We're gonna try some extra screens to have more engagement. So there's gonna be like question walls. There's gonna be like various. I'm keeping it quiet because I want to make sure it's also gonna work. But we're gonna
Can we
try to have
actually
some more
do?
engagement sections so that there's more even more powerful connecting happening.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the what if, or wouldn't it be cool if kind of question. I can innovate. That's one of my powers, is I can innovate. I can ideate, I can innovate. And it's sometimes the ideas come faster. Well, the ideas always come faster than the execution, let's be honest. And so yeah, I definitely feel that. It's like I want to have this kind of experience because I think it'll work. But sometimes technology pushes back and says like, no, that dynamic or that technology doesn't actually work the way you think it does. So yeah, I commend you for striving for a better experience. That's cool. I love that.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing, Brian. Is your is the it's in beta. I know you've been working on it. We had a call about it earlier. Where are you at now? I mean, is there ways people can engage? Of course, can't wait to see it. Just a bit over a month away now, about a week, 5 months.
I mean, so our beta is focused just on the Amazon.com, so the Amazon US marketplace currently. We just are this month, we're transitioning our beta users over to our online app. It was literally like Google Sheets prior to that.
Yeah, I heard you say.
And so yeah, our users are definitely like, oh, thank God. Yeah. Like I'm done. I don't want to see another Google Sheet again. And so we are in the process of transitioning out of beta, but it's probably going to be a few months of like that transition. And so our website is deepm.ai. So it's like deepmarketplace.ai
Oh, that's what it
or
is. Okay.
deepm.ai.
Yeah.
And so there's obviously a form that says like, hey, give me a demo of
Yeah, I see
this.
the request demo. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably the easiest way in order to get hands-on. We don't have a demonstration video on there, in parts because of the some of the proprietary things that we do and some of the patent filings that we're going after and that kind of stuff, we can't be fully disclosure. And as it turns out, you can't use terms like competitive intelligence when you're trying to be a service provider in the Amazon ecosphere, because Amazon comes down and says like, no, you can't say competitive intelligence. That suggests that you're comparing competitors to yourself. Like, yeah, we are. In great detail. It's like, no, you can't say that. You can say benchmark. It's like, okay, sure.
Okay.
Like, look, I'm looking to beat every competitor that I have for a search term. So call it what you want.
Awesome. Well, this has been fun. I can't wait to catch up again in person. And
yeah,
I mean, like when people are excited, like Tommy, he's been a regular at our summits. He's from Finland. He's based here in Chiang Mai. He's already confirmed to come, and he's followed you for a while. I can't wait to meet. He's been out here in Thailand for 10 years.
That's cool.
He's got a factory here with his wife, Thai wife, and they sell a lot, and he's excited to meet you and many others I've been talking to. So thanks again for sharing with us today and coming out.
Yeah.
All the way out to
Chiang Mai. I look forward to coming back into Chiang Mai in November. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
Brian showed us how to use data to crack Amazon's A9 algorithm, prioritize the right ranking signals, and avoid the pitfalls of chasing number one. It's all about finding your niche and optimizing consistently.
Let's hear from our GFA community. Send us your questions via our website or comments for next week's episode. And don't miss Brian at the Cross Border Summit. His workshop will be a must attend.
Grab your tickets at crossbordersummit.com and join us in Chiang Mai for actionable strategies like these. Thanks for tuning in to Global from Asia. See you next week.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.